For the believer, it is not so difficult to encounter God. Trouble is, we don't take the time and the wisdom to do it. Everybody wants to meet God. Well, this series is on encountering God and then on encountering Christ in the scriptures, in the church, in the sacraments, and in the poor. Hello, I'm Father Benedict Rochelle of the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal in the South Bronx. This is the ninth segment in our series, How Christian is My Prayer, based on the fourth section of the New Catechism. And today we're going to take a look at two kinds of prayer, thanksgiving and adoration. As I mentioned earlier in this series, most people, when they think about prayer or use the word prayer, are thinking about asking God for things, what we rightly call the prayer of intercession. However, there are three other major goals of prayer: to adore God, to thank God, and to ask God's forgiveness. Adoration, thanksgiving, and contrition. And if you want to lead a life of prayer, if you want to grow in prayer, and you just get stuck at the prayer of intercession, I want to tell you that your prayer life is going to be truncated. It's going to be stunted. Because there are great parts of prayer, most enriching and ennobling to the individual, and much, much more important, giving much more glory to God than simply intercession. Now, it is true that intercession can be terribly intense. If you're praying for something you desperately need, someone to come along a country road during a blizzard when your car is stuck, you're going to pray very, very intensely. And that's a prayer of petition. But these other kinds of prayer, to adore God, to bask in the light of His infinite majesty, to thank Him gratefully and humbly for all He's given, to ask His forgiveness and healing for our sins. These are other kinds of prayer that add other dimensions to the life of prayer. Let's take a look at thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Americans aren't much at it. We do have a National Day of Thanksgiving in November. And years ago, that day of Thanksgiving had a strong spiritual component. And people prayed together, usually at the dinner table, and thanked God for all of the blessings they had received. And many times, these people were not well off. They were the struggling pilgrim fathers, or they were the people along the frontier, or the immigrants living in the big cities. Life was not easy for these people, but they gave thanks to God. Not so long ago, I had the opportunity, I was giving something at the Divine Mercy Shrine, to run down to the Norman Rockwell Museum. Now, Norman Rockwell was an interesting person. He's a sign of contradiction. Practically none of his paintings are in any of the great museums of the world. He is dismissed as an illustrator. Sometimes if you see the things in the great museums of the world, you would wonder. I heard of a modern art gallery not too long ago where some artist was assembling his wares. They don't hang them on the wall anymore. They kind of get scattered around on the floor. And he quit for lunch, and when he came back, the artwork was gone. The janitor threw it out. He thought somebody left junk in the museum as a practical joke. And sometimes you see things that look like a piece of decayed cheesecake rubbed against the side of an old picket fence or something like that. No, that's art. But Norman Rockwell, where you can actually see human figures, which portray a wide range of emotions, he's rejected. Interesting. And many of Rockwell's paintings were actually done commercially, advertisements for things. Many were done as book covers, but book covers can be art. But among his great paintings were the Four Freedoms. And you surely remember the painting called Freedom from Want. It shows a dining room table with all happy relatives gathered, and a grandmother about my age holding a big brown turkey, and grandpa looking benignly over the top of the bird. Thanksgiving. It was an American tradition. Now, if a family has any prayers at all, they may be said rather embarrassedly and quickly. Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts. Because the more we have, like the Hebrews in the Old Testament, the less thanks do we give. It's one of the things you learn from the poor, from the devout poor, to be thankful. Make sure every day you include in your prayer life a time of thanksgiving. And if you say the liturgy of the hours or the prayer of the church, the morning, midday, evening prayer, night prayer, and the office of readings, or you just say the morning and evening prayer of the church, you will know that the morning prayer is always psalms of thanksgiving. I love morning prayer. I love it. Starts the day. Takes me a little while now that I'm as old as I am to get the brain operating full speed. First thing I do is I go outside. If it's a clear morning, I like to get up around 4 o'clock, look up and the stars are out, maybe in the summer the first lights of dawn are coming on. And I love to say that beautiful, beautiful psalm, the 102nd psalm. You, O Lord, did make the earth, and the work of your hands is the heavens. They shall perish, but you shall continue, and they shall grow old as a garment, and you shall change them, and they shall be changed. But you, O God, are the selfsame forever, and your days will have no end. What a marvelous, beautiful morning prayer to give thanks to God under the great dome of the sky. The sky isn't infinite, but from where we're standing, it might be 12 to 14 billion light years till the end. Long distance. And if I'm at the retreat house, I can walk down by the edge of the sea, Long Island Sound. And I look out as the sun is coming up over the sea. And in that direction, it's 3,000 miles to the next landfall, which is Lisbon, Portugal. The infinity of God. We should adore him and give thanks to him for what we have. And sometimes the most important thing to give thanks is to see someone who has less, someone who is poor, someone who is physically disadvantaged, someone who is mentally limited, someone who has terrible sorrows, someone is dying. And put yourself and you say, well, none of those things are happening to me. We're all going to be dying, and I hope I'm going to be dying with thanksgiving. I'm planning on it. I'd like to have a nice death, plenty of thanksgiving, plenty of gratitude to God, plenty of time for contrition, and as you know, some of you, I'm hoping to make a video on the occasion of checking out called Going First Class. I hate to waste a decent death just sitting around feeling sorry for myself. But, thanksgiving is so important. Here's another psalm. This is the 95th psalm. Also in the morning prayers of the church. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Oh, yes. And if you ever have the opportunity to go down into the inner city, to one of the poorer neighborhoods, and you can go to a church, Catholic church, Protestant church, big church, storefront church, poor people are there, they will give thanks to the Lord. When I had my 25th anniversary as a priest a long time ago, I invited the gospel choir from St. Augustine's Church in the Bronx up to Westchester where I had my mass, and the gospel choir is an African-American choir. They could sing anything. And I said to the choir director, well, what are we going to sing on the way in? Well, he could sing the Hallelujah chorus. He could sing Gregorian chant. They did anything. So I said, well, we're going to have some nice gospel music, but I said, let's get them ready slowly. So let's have something sedate on the way in. Okay, he says, what about Pass Me Not By, O Gentle Savior? Well, I never heard of it, but in my mind I could hear Pass Me Not By, O Gentle Savior, something like that. And the procession was ahead of me, and I got up to the door of the church, and they were going, Pass Me Not By, O Gentle Savior, don't you pass. I had to do the Charleston coming down the aisle. It was amazing. And I thought, well, all these people would be kind of shocked. They loved it. They loved it. And the very end, we had a girl, beautiful soprano voice, sang an old southern spiritual, Going Up Yonder, a hymn about eternal life. I have to tell you that if you're down on yourself, if you're depressed, go to an inner city church, to a Sunday morning service, or to a Sunday morning mass where they have a gospel choir, and your spirits will be lifted. It says in the Psalms, all you children clap your hands. And many times it's the less affluent members of our society that know how to do this. Make sure it is part of your life. And sometimes it's very sad, the other. There was a very wealthy man in New York, and somebody told me he was interested in a cause that I was working on, and I should go ask him for some money. It wasn't money for me, it was for this cause. So I got an appointment, and this man was immensely wealthy. They told me he was worth $500 million. His friend who took me said he could write a check for you for $25,000 for this cause and not even know forget to put it in his checkbook. And he was very interested in the cause. And then when I got around to money, he said, I can't stop working. I can't stop making money. I hate my relatives. My only child is in a mental hospital. My wife is dead. I have nobody to give it to. I'm 75 years old, and I can't stop making money. It's a burden to me. So I said, well, now that you bring it up, you know, I could lighten your burden a little bit here. It'll take $25,000 off, you know. If you want to get rid of a bit more, we've got some other causes. I'll think about it. What a poor man. He's a miser. He was a nice man. He was a suffering man. He was a man you would feel sorry for. He was a prisoner. And just as people are held by chains of narcotics, or chains of sexual addiction, or chains of alcohol, this man was held by a chain of gold. And there was no way he could give thanks, because he was so busy clutching what he had. If you want to give thanks, in our shelter, right before Christmas, we have a Christmas party. It's one of the high moments of my year. And at the end of the party, because of our friends in Westchester, devout, good people, and we have beautiful packages for each one of the homeless men, and that's 85 homeless men. And they all give thanks. One after the other will get up and give thanks to the brothers and sisters, for the beautiful residence, for the lovely shelter, for the good meals. They give thanks. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. I'm thinking in my mind now of adoration. I'm thinking of that little lady that I spoke about, who I saw in the temple in Tokyo. I'm thinking of people I saw praying very devoutly at the Western Wall. I'm thinking of some cloistered nuns I know who pray through the night in adoration of the presence of Christ. I'm thinking of innumerable old people who pray, like the lady I said don't forget to pray. In this house, a man is going to die in a few days. She was there as a practical nurse. And everybody will be all excited. You pray. And she said, Father, I pray all the time. Adoration. What is adoration? It's the acknowledgement from the bottom of our hearts that we are creatures before God. That's adoration. And you know, if you're young enough, put your face against the floor. Go into an aspect of adoration. Kneel down. Some churches, you know, they don't kneel. And some of the Catholics don't kneel. Makes me sick. What's wrong with kneeling? I got news for you. On Judgment Day, I'm going to be on my knees. I have news for you. I'm standing up. Oh, no. I love to be humble before the Lord. I don't have a humble heart, but at least I can have a humble body. I can tell my limbs to be in a humble direction, although now I'm so old that they get creaky. Be humble before the Lord. I remember very well, it was the home, the apartment of a man in his 40s who I had known as a very, very devout Catholic. I still have a picture in my office that he gave me 20 years ago of a hippopotamus. A smiling hippopotamus. And this man was an active member of the church, of the charismatic renewal, and all of a sudden I found out he was dying of AIDS. Because before his conversion, he had been very, very involved in the sexually addicted scene of New York. And he had been converted. He didn't know that he had picked up this virus. And he was dying, still in the prime of life, but at peace, accepting the will of God. And his sister and brother-in-law invited me to come. A very devout Capuchin father, Father Barnabas, had already given him the last rites, holy anointing. But they said, he'd like to see you before he goes. When I got there, the room was very dark because his eyes were very sensitive. There were a few vigil lights burning in the room. And for the moment, I thought there was another person standing in the room, but it was a life-size print of the portrait of our Lord called the Divine Mercy, standing right next to the bed. It looked like someone in the darkness. And he spoke to me, and he was at great peace. And he said he was ready to go. And so I chose these words. These are the words of the book of Revelation. Probably among all words that could possibly describe adoration, these are the most powerful. This is the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared like a bride, adorned to meet her husband. And I heard a great voice from the throne saying, Behold the dwelling place of God with men. And he will be with them, and they shall be his people, and he himself will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For all these things have passed away. The description of the kingdom of God after the end of the world. Now I understand why St. Augustine insisted with the ancient bishops that this book had to be included in the New Testament. And he who sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Write this. For these words are trustworthy and true. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And to the thirsty I will give water without price from the fountains of life. And he who conquers shall have this as his heritage. And I will be his God, and he will be my child. My goodness. Wouldn't this call forth adoration? Remember the scene. My friend is so ill. His name was Bob. That he can't see with the light on. His sister and brother-in-law, other friends, are kneeling there. And I'm describing to him what's going to happen when he passes out of this life of pain and sorrow. And then the angel showed me the river of water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city, with its 12 kinds of fruit, the tree of life growing on its shores, yielding its fruit in each month, and the leaves of these trees are for the healing of the nations. And there will no longer be any accursed thing, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be there, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and the night shall be no more. They shall need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they shall reign forever and ever. When we pause in adoration of our God, as people of every religious denomination should do, if you're listening to this program and you're not a Catholic, you're not a Christian, perhaps you're not even someone who is familiar with the Bible, with the sacred scriptures, from the depths of your human nature, calls up the natural law to adore God who made you, who is known to us all by the things we see, his almighty power and his divinity. And I would tell you, if you are someone who does not know this, who walks through life in a darkness without faith, pray, if you can, that you will receive faith. Ask God in your own words. Say to him, if you are there, knock on the door of my heart. Let me hear from you. But if you have faith, then you should spend some time every day in silent adoration of God, in the acknowledgement of his divinity, of his omnipotent power, of his mercy by which he makes us. And if you have faith and you believe in salvation, then look forward to his kingdom and give thanks to that. And if you have been very blessed to have the faith in Christ, then you know that he is the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It says in the Revelation, in the 19th chapter, and after this, I heard what seemed to me the mighty voice of a great multitude in heaven, crying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and power from our God and from him who sits upon the Lamb throne, for his judgments are true and just. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who is seated on the throne, saying, Amen. Alleluia. And from the throne came a voice, Praise our God, all you his servants, all you who fear him great and small. And I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the sound of many waters, like the sound of many harpers, playing on their harps, like the sound of mighty thunder peals, crying, Alleluia, for the Lord our God, the Almighty One, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted to her to be clothed with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. Brothers and sisters, adoration. In the beautiful hymn in the middle of the Mass, the Gloria, we say we give thanks to you, for your great glory. Propter magnum gloriam tuam, for the greatness of your glory. No matter who you are, be thankful to God for what you have received, for what has gone with you through this life. And if you have faith, be grateful for the faith to know that this life is only a beginning, a trial, a purification, and that it is the chamber before we enter into that land where we will hear the voice of many waters crying, Alleluia and thanksgiving and glory and honor to our God. Amen.